Man, Mike, it's acting so stupid. Hi, everyone. It's Richard here. I am recording this at 10 o'clock at night. Let's hope that this time is not going to be kind of... Here's the deal. I don't really have anything planned right now. I haven't written anything down right now. I will let you know in a second why, but I do know there are a few things that I do want to talk about. And, I mean, I just want to catch up with you guys. So, without further ado, let's just get right into it. It is now 2023, and we are all lying to ourselves about our resolutions. But that's okay. You know, delusion is the name of the game for January. And then February, January is delusions. February, you go down two roads. You either go down the road of love or depression, further depression. It really is a crap. It really just depends if you have a boyfriend or not.
I don't have a boyfriend, but I have...
Excuse me. It's 10 o'clock right now. I was going to say, I do have some great people in my life that will be my Valentine. So, I got myself covered, but I wish that I had a man, because I could be doing some other things that I can't do with my friends on Valentine's Day, if you know what I mean. Okay, so I think the last episode I did was like in November, and then I dropped off the face of the earth in December, and there is not really a good reason, but here's my reasoning. I was finishing up with finals, and these last few semesters are very important to me right now because I'm about to finish my associate's degree. Almost 30, just finishing my associate's degree. Anything is truly possible in this world. It's important to me because I held myself back so much because of my fear of failing and my depression and me just thinking that I can never achieve anything. If I couldn't even achieve being a singer because I smoked, that sent me into a deeper depression. Basically realize that I've just been destroying my body and being self-destructive. It's a lot. But long story short, I'm about to finish and I'm extremely proud of myself. And I've honestly just been focusing on school. And after finals, I just didn't tell you guys that I was just going to be taking my winter break. I really don't apologize for it. I'm sorry if you feel bad, but I needed to decompress, and I needed to let out. You know how when you take a class and it requires you to download a software, but the software is taking up too much memory, so you have to just use your computer specifically for class, and after the class is done, you erase the software. Well, that's what I'm doing with my brain. I'm trying to throw out all the clutter and the stress from my mind and fill it with new clutter and stress for the next semester, you know? I recycle mentally. But I had a fantastic winter break. I really didn't do anything except work and go home, but I think I'm falling into a deep pattern of depression because of it. Because now I'm feeling like I have not done anything. I am a waste of space. But, I mean, that's not even entirely true. I got a car. I'm going back to school, finishing up my degree. Have a great job. Got my shit together. I mean, still live with my mom, but I'm working on that too. 2023 is the year, like I said, of like, you know, trying to better yourself, and January is just like the delusional month where people make resolutions. And it's so funny to me that in January, the first week of January, people sign up for gym memberships and then just stop going. It's like, holy shit. I learned my lesson the hard way. I had to get rid of my gym membership because I wasn't using it anymore. I could have saved so much goddamn money if I just didn't get the goddamn dealer, the membership. There's a dog crying out there. I don't know if you guys hear that, but anyways. Yeah, I could have just saved so much fucking money. Lesson learned. Don't sign up for Planet Fitness. They're an awful gym. Okay, so I really did want to record an episode of the podcast because I did just up and abandon my podcast for an entire month, which I still don't apologize for. I needed some much needed rest, even though when you're resting, you really aren't ever left the fuck alone. Throughout my entire break, I had to just be doing shit left and right. It's so obnoxious. But with that being said, there are a few things that I do want to talk about. So let's just get right into it, shall we?
So the first topic I would like to bring up is Rian Johnson's latest movie called Glass Onion. If you don't know, it is kind of like the second anthology movie to his last creation, Knives Out. I really hope he makes more because these movies are so good. So, if you have not seen Knives Out yet, let me just say this. You are wasting a lot of time not watching it. Because it is one hell of a movie. It is so fucking good. I need to find it again. I want to buy like the director's cuts so that I could see all the deleted scenes that didn't make it to the theatrical version. But it's such a fabulous movie. It's so refreshing. Let me say this. It's so refreshing watching a movie with a plot that is totally different to anything else that I have seen so far. And yes, I know it's like a whodunit film, but it's such a beautifully crafted whodunit film. Black comedy, suspense, a little bit of action, and just hilarious. I'm gonna readjust. I'm on my bed right now. It is just so wonderfully written. It kept me guessing and guessing to the very end. The way that the plot was put together, it feels like a breath of fresh air. Anyways, the reason I'm bringing this up is because Rian Johnson has done it once again with Glass Onion. And this is the part where I would probably give a spoiler alert, but come on. Come on. I'm sorry if you haven't seen Knives Out, but you cannot sit there and tell me not to talk about Glass Onion. So, it was so chef's kisses. It was so fucking good. So, I'm going to start talking about it, and this is your final warning to get off this podcast or skip to a segment. Okay, fair warning, here we go. All right, so Glass Onion is about a group of friends who are going to their ultra-rich friend's house. And there is some conflict that happens. The way that the plot unravels is so good. And there, we see the detective from the last movie, which I always forget his name because I am not good at remembering these characters' names. What is he called? His name is Benoit Blanc. This foghorn leghorn motherfucker comes around because he is mysteriously summoned by somebody to solve the murder of Harlan Thornberry. Does anyone know the wild Thornberries? I was searching through TikTok like I usually do when I get hyper obsessed with things. Ever since I watched The Glass Onion, I've just been hyper obsessed with Knives Out, the series, and Rian Johnson and Benoit Blanc. Someone had accidentally misspelled Thrombies and spelled it Thornberries. And I know that was not right. But you know how, like, when someone says something and you're like, well, it has to be right, right? No. I refuse to believe that this person really thought it was the Thornberries. It's the Thrombies. Jamie Lee Curtis specifically screams it when they do the Will scene. We'll get to that in a second. But I just want to talk about this real quick. Glass Onion is a really fun movie because it takes the mystery whodunit aspect completely out of the water by having Benoit Blanc solve the case almost immediately. That's not the real mystery. The real mystery comes later in the film. I'm not going to spoil too much because I really encourage you guys to watch it. But the twist got me all kinds of fucked up. Janelle Monáe is in it, who I absolutely love. I loved her last album, Dirty Computer. I hope that she comes out with some more stuff. I love Daniel Craig. The fucking foghorn, leghorn accent that he has in that movie cracks me the fuck up. I love this man. He's such a handsome gentleman. But I also am super happy that he's finally doing something that isn't James Bondy or like too serious. He can just be an idiot in a movie and not have to worry about taking himself so damn seriously all the time. The last thing I saw with Daniel Craig where he was actually being funny and shit was a skit with, what is his name, Catherine Tate for BBC, where she plays a woman who matches with Daniel Craig on a dating site, but she doesn't know that he's famous. And Daniel Craig takes advantage of it. And then at the end, he ends up falling in love with her, and she's just like, get out of my house, please. I don't appreciate you anymore. Please get out. He ends up falling in love with her. It's so fucking funny. But yeah, it was so cool to see like Catherine Hahn and Kate Hudson and David Bautista and Edward Norton. The movies that Rian Johnson writes, like Knives Out and Glass Onion, it's an all-star cast of people. And it's so fun to see everybody that I actually know. Knives Out had Jamie Lee Curtis, Daniel Craig, what's her name? Toni Collette. It even had Chris Evans, right? I get my Chris's confused sometimes. I'm sorry. They're all white, tall, muscular men with the name Chris. Chris Hemsworth, Chris Evans, Chris fucking whatever. Anyways, I don't want to spoil Glass Onion too much. It's available on Netflix right now. Please, 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 please go watch the film. You will not regret it. This movie kept me on my toes. I have to actually watch it again just to catch all the tiny clues that I missed the first time around. Oh, such a good movie. Oh, here's a wild ass thing that happened just a while ago. Jeremy Renner was actually in the hospital because of a snowplow accident that happened on his birthday. Okay, so I pulled up the article. This is by 7 News Boston. Jeremy Renner celebrates 52nd birthday in the hospital after snowplow accident. And the article goes, Jeremy Renner is celebrating his 52nd birthday with a message of gratitude to his medical care team. the actors continued to recover from injuries sustained in a snowplow accident. This happened a while ago. Thank you, renowned medical ICU team, for beginning this journey, Renner wrote on an image shared to his Instagram story. The snapshot showed the actor in a hospital bed surrounded by medical professionals. The late Friday post is the third update Renner shared since being hospitalized. He underwent 2 surgeries for blunt chest trauma and orthopedic injuries after he was crushed by a snowplow on New Year's Day near his Nevada home. The Marvel star was clearing snow from a private driveway when the accident occurred. Renner also shared a brief video of supporters dancing to 50 Cent in the club to wish him a happy birthday, and he thanked them for the birthday love. That is, first of all, it's very sweet that everyone sent a lot of supporters danced to 50 Cent in the club to wish him a happy birthday. Very sweet, but like, what the fuck? I really hope that he elaborates as to what happened, because I'm truly curious as to how he got, basically, from what I heard, crushed by a snowplow on New Year's Day near his event. He got ran over, but somehow. Who the fuck allowed this to happen? Anyways, the article continues by saying that several other actors also sent birthday wishes to Renner. Chris Evans wrote happy birthday to one of the toughest guys I know on his Instagram story with a picture of Renner. Sending so much love your way. Let's see. Washoe County Sheriff Darren Balam said at Tuesday news conference that Renner Snowcat, an engine-powered machine used to clear snow, started to roll away while Renner was not in the driver's seat. He was injured as he tried to get back into the machine, Balam said. Renner's family members were with him when he was injured. Holy shit, dude. What the fuck does that look like? Engine-powered snowplow. Engine-powered snowplower. Woo! Woo! Oh my god, look at the blades on the fucker. Jesus Christ. Someone give Renner a fucking blowtorch instead. Just do it the old-fashioned hillbilly way. Good god, that thing looks like it could really fuck you up. It also just looks like it hurts. Jesus Christ. Well, I'm just happy to hear that Jeremy Renner is doing okay. He's truly one of my favorite actors. If I had to sit down and watch a Marvel movie, I'd probably watch something that he's definitely in. Oh my god. This poor man. Well, he's feeling better, so can't be all that bad, you know? He's still alive, so that's good. Oh shit. I really don't know what else to say. I'm just really happy that he's still with us. He's a handsome man. God damn. Anyways, speaking of Jeremy Renner, have you guys seen the series Hawkeye? Because I really want to start watching it. I don't really know what else to say about this. Let's just move on to the next topic, shall we? Oh, this next topic it's juicy. It's something that all of us wish that we could do, and that is win the lottery. And win at a casino with lottery, win a lot of money. This woman won $43 million, but was offered a steak dinner instead of her winnings by the casino. This is an article from Unilad. I read it through. This is wild. Katrina Bookman was playing the slots at the Resort World Casino in Jamaica, Queens, when she secured what would have been the largest slot machine jackpot in U.S. history. Are you ready for this? $42,949,672. I don't even know where to begin with that kind of money. If I had that kind of money, I would buy all my family members a fucking house. Dude, okay, so would we actually do that? If we had the money, would we actually buy our family houses? It's always the question that runs through my mind. Would I actually buy my family houses? I want to say yes, but I need to have the actual money first before I actually can just be like, of course, if I was rich. No, I need to be rich so that I can actually buy the houses. Regardless, that's a lot of money. She took a selfie with the machine to mark the moment and later said her whole body went numb when she saw the life-changing figure. Shit, my body, my soul would leave my body too. If I just got 777 and then it said that I had won like, you know, $50 million, I'd probably go numb too. Shit, that is a large sum of money. Okay. Bookman was told to come back the next day to discuss her winnings, but when she asked an employee what she'd be walking away with, he responded, "You didn't win anything." These fucking casinos are so shady. The New York State Gaming Commission and Bookman's machine had said Bookman's machine had malfunctioned and that she had actually won $2.25 million. Ain't that a bitch? The machine had a disclaimer stating, "Malfunctions void all pays and plays," and as a result, the commission said that they were required by law to give Bookman only what she had actually won. Like, dude, these fucking corporations and casinos and all this kind of bullshit, they really just want to keep us poor. They really just want to say, they just really want us to keep us playing their fucking slots and shit so that we waste our money and all that. This is the fucking kick in the dick, I swear. As a gesture of goodwill, the casino offered Bookman a complimentary steak dinner. They offered, because their fucking little slot machine spit out the wrong number of $42 million. And that they said, no, that's not that. The machine is glitching. You actually won $2.25 million. And we'll throw in a steak dinner. How insulting do you have to be? And she, the real kicker is, she took a picture. It says printing cash ticket 42949672.76. Please remove ticket. She has evidence to say, yeah, this is what the machine said. A spokesperson for Resorts World, Dan Banks, told CNN, upon being notified of the situation, casino personnel were able to determine that the figure displayed on the penny slots was the result of an obvious malfunction. A fact later confirmed by the New York State Gaming Commission. Fucking Christ. After explaining the circumstances to Miss Bookman, we offered to pay her the correct amount that was shown on the printed ticket. Machines malfunctions are rare, and we would like to extend our apologies to Miss Bookman for any inconveniences this may have caused. The year after she thought she'd won, Bookman's lawyer filed a lawsuit describing the casino's claims as ridiculous. Because it is. Okay, so just correct me if I'm wrong. Every single day, don't these machines have to be, I don't know, checked on before they can actually go online? Like, this is why I say this. I watched Paolo from Tokyo. You know, do you guys know who Paolo from Tokyo is? Paolo from Tokyo is a gentleman who lives in Japan who does mini documentaries, basically, of Japanese workers. So one day he did in the day of the life of a ramen chef, the day in the life of a casino worker, the day in the life of a, you know, single mom, the day in the life of, like, a, you know, I can't even think of them. I've watched all of them. Firefighters, construction workers, retail shoppers, delivery drivers, all that kind of shit. They all came to me at once. Fuck. I'm just getting so mad now. When I watched the casino worker version, they had a small team of people, and they every single day, like clockwork, checked every single machine to make sure that it was up and running properly. And they're saying that, oops, that specific machine that you played on, and it said that you won $42 million. Oh, that was an oopsie. And we're so sorry. We're so sorry. These things just do happen. My hands are just doing their own thing right now. These things just happen, okay? But I'll tell you what, this is still me acting like I'm the casino person, okay? I'll tell you what we'll do, Ms. Bookman. How about we offer you $2 million and a good-ass steak? What would you even say to someone who had the audacity to offer you a steak dinner after you just had won $42 million? What kind of bullshit is that? These casinos just piss me off. This is why I don't go to casinos anymore, because I'm just bad at them. I have terrible luck when it comes to casinos. Why would I want to play at taking a chance to win more money if I know already I'm going to lose that money? Anyways, the lawyer said, you can't claim a machine is broken because you want it to be broken. Does that mean it wasn't inspected? Does it mean it wasn't maintained? Ripka told CNN at the time. And if so, does that mean that people have played there before Bookman had zero chance of winning? That's actually a really good point. Basically, what she's saying is, oh, this machine hasn't been checked on. How many people have played on this machine? And because of this obvious glitch or error in the machine, had no chance of winning. So you guys neglected this machine? That's poor management. Just saying. But the case was ultimately settled out of court. After realizing she'd be only walking away with a couple of dollars, Bookman, who grew up in foster care and raised four children as a single mother, commented, all I could think about was my family. Ain't that a damn shame? Man, fuck this casino. What's this casino again? Something in Jamaica, Queens. The Resorts World Casino. If any of y'all live in Jamaica, Queens, don't go to this fucking casino. Don't go to the Resorts World Casino. They will swindle your ass. Fuck this casino. Fuck all casinos, honestly. I swear. Well, I can't really say fuck all casinos. There's a few casinos that are owned by Native Americans. That's our Isleta Casino here in New Mexico. The one near us, the Isleta Casino, is actually owned by the Isleta tribe, so I can't really say. Why can't we just have nice things, you know? Why can't we all just win some money? Give us a better chance at winning. We're too poor for this shit. Damn, this story pissed me off. You might have some justice for fucking Miss Bookman. Oh. I'm sorry, Miss Bookman. I guess I hope you at least enjoyed your fucking steak dinner. That steak dinner better have been the best cut of that beef. It better be like $2,000 Wagyu beef. You know what I mean? High quality. If you're just going to get a fucking steak dinner, you better get endless steak dinners. Whenever you go into the casino, you better snap your fingers twice and be like, I would like a steak, to make up for this fucking error. This casino done pissed me off. All right, we're done with the segment. Well, I think that is going to wrap up this episode of the Rotten Rainbow Podcast. And before I go, I do want to say thank you so much, guys, for basically supporting my podcast. I know it's not like the most polished podcast out there, but shit, we can't all be, you know, Jake Paul's and Joe Rogan's. You know, I do want to kind of give like a sense of realism with my podcast by just showing, hey, if you want to start a podcast, just do it. I also just want to thank you guys for supporting it, because it's actually pushed me to make more content. And my Spotify Wrapped, because Anchor is now owned by Spotify now, I actually got a Spotify Wrapped for my podcasting. And it said that I had made 70% more content than any other podcast in my category, which is social and culture. So that's incredible. I've done 70% more content than other creators in society and culture, the category. That's a hell of a recognition, and I'll take it. Lastly, I do want to say I am going to be banging out more content. I promise you. I swear. I'm going to try to dedicate my entire year this year to making an episode a week. Even if I fall and I don't make an episode of the week that week, I'm not going to beat myself up about it, because shit happens. Life gets in the way. But as long as I continue to focus on making content, I think that'll be just fine for me. This is more like a hobby thing, to be completely honest. Who knows? It might turn into like a big thing, and then I'll try to take it more seriously. But for now, it's just a thing I do on the side as a small little hobby. And it's a hobby I've been doing for about 5 years now. Can you believe it? September of 2018 is when I started it. Now we're in January 2023. About 4 years now. Yeah, 4 years. 4 years going on five. So thank you guys. I will be coming out with more content. I promise you that. And just make sure to catch me on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever podcasts are broadcast. That's where you'll find me. Until then, I'm going to sign off and go to bed. It's 11 o'clock at night. God damn it. Peace.